able to share the Word of God with you this morning. And I'll ask if any of you do have your Bibles. I don't have anything up on the screen this morning. So if you do have your Bibles, won't you open them up and use them when I share a scripture? I'll try and wait for you to get there. I've written them all down on my page because there's quite a few of them, so I'm not going to be flipping back and forth. But yeah, this morning I want to chat to us a little bit about hope. I think in a world that often seems so hopeless, it's so good to know that there's hope and that where we can find our hope. This word, hope, in the world's context is a very loosely used word. Almost every day it's used for the smallest of things. For example, I hope you feel better. I hope your baby is healthy. I hope you get an A on your exam. I hope I get an A on my exam. I hope I make a difference in the world. For the married couples, I hope this marriage lasts. For those of you who can provide for your family but still think you need more, I hope I get a raise. Maybe maybe you hope a bit too much. I hope for world peace before Christmas. This word hope is used every day in every context. And so often we use it for good fortune or for chance. You know, I wonder, like a hope. It's like a wish that it would come true. But it's not what the Bible says about hope. Hope is not a wish. It is not this wishy-washy emotion that allows us to get stuff that we want. Eugene H. Peterson once said this, hoping does not mean doing nothing. It means going about our assigned tasks confident that God will provide the meaning and the conclusion. It means a confident, alert expectation that God will do what he said he would do. It is an imagination put in the harness of faith. It is a willingness to let God do it his way and in his time. It is the opposite of making plans that we demand God put into effect, telling him both how and when to do it. Hope is a state of mind that motivates us. Without hope, we resort to nothingness. We start to neglect life. One night at dinner, a man had spent many summers overseas, fascinated his companions by telling of his experience in a little town named Flagstaff. The town was to be flooded as part of a large lake for which a dam was being built. In the months before it was to be flooded, all improvements and repairs in the whole town were stopped. What was the use of painting a house if it were to be covered in water in the next 6 months? Why repair anything when the whole village was to be wiped out? So week by week, the whole town became more and more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more woe begone. And then he added by way of explanation, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. And I just found that really, really challenging. I mean, I think we think the same way, right? Sometimes we think, okay, well, you know, in 2 weeks' time, our car's going in for repairs anyway, so what's another ding here and there? You know, why not just leave it the way it is, you know, or make it worse so we can really claim back from insurance? Thanks for that. But hope has a real effect on our lives. The loss of hope leads to neglect, but having hope, like I said, motivates us. Have you ever heard the expression, I've given up all hope? All right, some of us say it. Often on the internet I see this thing, hope in humanity restored. Whenever someone does something great for someone else, selfless act, they go, oh, hope in humanity is restored. All right, but that phrase, given up all hope, what does that mean? What are we giving up? Do we realize what we're saying when we say we've given up all hope? This morning we're going to look through some scriptures and hopefully we'll be able to see what effect hope has on us as believers. Before we go into it, let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here with us this morning. God, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for another opportunity to come before you in worship, in praise to you. Thank you, Lord, that we can all come as your sons and your daughters and kneel at your feet. God, that we can commit our desires, our needs, our wants, and even our hopelessness into your hands, God. And say, Lord, won't you fill us with hope this morning? Won't you fill us with your peace? Won't you fill us with your joy? And I pray, Lord, that this morning as we leave this place, God, that we would be challenged. That we would be encouraged to keep on living, hoping in the Lord our God. So, Lord, we commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm chapter 71. Otherwise, if you're taking notes, you can just jot it down and you can go and read it when you get home. But the first thing I want us to notice is that hope gives us confidence. Hope gives us confidence. Psalm 71 verse 5 says this. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. I mean, this confidence that comes from hope, it's a confidence that causes us to have a greater faith in God. It's not just a mere confidence to do things every day. It's trusting God more because we know that we can trust Him. We know that His promises hold true. He knows that we cannot do anything in our lives unless He empowers us to do it. Right? The Bible says that through the Holy Spirit, Christ lives in you and me. He lives in us. And so this new life with Christ in us takes us on a journey to a place we can go where we've never been before. All right? He gives us a confidence, a boldness to walk out, to step out in faith, trusting Him for what's going to happen. And looking forward to what God has called us to do. There's this confidence that God gives us. I don't know how many of you have ever sort of received a fresh feeling of confidence. You know, when you're feeling just very self-conscious, and someone just comes up to you and says, hey, you know, it's going to be okay. And then you go, yeah, it will. Does that happen often? Not really. Most of the time we complain. We go, oh, no, but. And we give every excuse in the book why we don't have confidence. But the greatest thing for me is when I'm feeling insecure, when I'm feeling self-conscious and that I cannot do it, and I go to a trusted friend or to Mark and I just say, pray with me. As soon as those words are prayed, as soon as we trust God, man, I feel like I can do anything. I feel this new, fresh confidence come over me. And it's because I trust in my God. It's not a confidence in my ability. It's not a confidence in anybody else's ability. It's a confidence in the promises and the word of my God. The second thing is that hope gives us a courage and a strength and a boldness. I'm going to read three verses here. I'm quite quick after one another, so you're probably going to struggle to get there. But it's Psalm 31, verse 24. It's the first one. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the very last one is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are bold. We are bold. The Bible is full of examples, where God's people experience the strength and courage to do certain things, all right? The things that God has asked them to do. Moses is an example. Moses was empowered to go into Egypt, even though he was sort of riddled with fear about not being good enough. If you recall the story of Moses meeting God in the burning bush, God calls out to him from this bush. And as Moses goes to examine what's going on, God speaks to him, telling him that he's the God of his fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, I'm calling you to go into Egypt and deliver my people. And he says, why me? Right there is an insecurity, a lack of confidence, but a lack of courage. A scared young man being asked by God Almighty to go and deliver his people. And God says, go. And you know what Moses does? He goes. Moses goes into Egypt. He begins to trust God. He begins to put his faith in him, and he trusts the promise of God. And he's given the strength to go and speak to Pharaoh, not just once, but multiple times. Right now, imagine walking into Parliament. Okay, and we won't speak about Zuma, but we'll speak about Ramaphosa now. All right, walking right up to Ramaphosa and going, "Let my people go." And he says no. Now, for us as human beings and in this day and age, you know, we know that every human being should be equal. But back then, Pharaoh was elevated. Pharaoh was the king on earth. And so everyone under him was inferior. So to walk up to someone superior to you took a lot of strength, took a lot of courage. And Moses trusted in God and went forward multiple times and said, "Let my people go," over and over again. And God used him to deliver the people of God from the Pharaoh. He went from being a shepherd, leading some sheep, leading some flock, to being a mighty, mighty weapon in the hand of God. Joseph was another example. Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery, ended up in prison. Most people would think that's a hopeless situation. But Joseph trusted his God. He had faith in his God. And what happened was people around him began to see it. The jailer trusted him and put him in charge of the jail. Eventually, he was elevated to second in command. Imagine being taken from a place of hopelessness and being given such an honor that you're filled with incredible hope. But we need to understand that Joseph wasn't filled with hope because he was now given a position of honor. He was filled with hope because he had seen the work of his God in his life, and he trusted the promises of God to come, the future that God had promised for him. Another one was Daniel, right, facing lions. I don't know if you heard over the past 2 weeks, I don't know if it was a hoax or if it was true, but a poacher was like in a game reserve trying to poach, and he actually got eaten by lions. I don't know if it's true, but I just imagine Daniel in the lion's den facing all those hungry things looking at him. And what was his reaction and his response is to kneel and worship God and to pray and say, "God, please." And God delivered him from that. He trusted in his God. He had a hope that something better was to come. Something for him. And God delivered him. Each of these examples shows a boldness, a courage, a strength that cannot be manufactured by man. We cannot stand here this morning and manufacture courage for ourselves. We can, but it won't last long. We cannot manufacture a boldness and a strength that only God can give, because it will not last. Many years ago, researchers performed an experiment to see the effect that hope has on those undergoing hardship, and they used rats. They took two sets of laboratory rats and placed them in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set in the water and found that within an hour, they had all drowned. The other rats, the other set, were periodically lifted out of the water and then returned. When that happened, the second set of rats swam for over 24 hours. Why? Not because they were given a rest, but because they suddenly had hope. They somehow hoped that if they could stay afloat just a little bit longer, someone would pick them up and rescue them. And although it's a temporary hope for them and they're just rats, if hope holds such power for unthinking rodents, how much greater should its effect be on our lives? And we're not just trusting in a crazy mad scientist to lift us out of our water and put us back in. We're trusting in God Almighty. And we know that His hand is over us. And we know that His hand is powerful and mighty. Thirdly, hope produces joy. And the next two things are joy and peace. I'm not going to harp too long about it because Mark actually spoke about it 2 weeks ago. But Romans 12 verse 12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." Be joyful in hope. I don't know about you, But for those people facing brokenness, facing dire situations of grief, this verse right here can be one of the hardest verses to implement into your life, to be joyful in hope. When all seems lost, Paul tells us to be joyful. How? How can you ask this of us, Paul? How? You don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. To be joyful in the midst of this pain and suffering, how can you say that? What more is not just be joyful, but to have hope, to trust that things are going to get better, but they're not getting better. It's impossible. Because of what I'm facing, there is no hope. But this is just what we feel. And as we know, emotions can deceive us big time. And we need perspective. Paul knows only too well the suffering one person can endure. If I had to take a guess, he's probably endured more suffering than any of us here today. In fact, in comparison, our suffering is probably not suffering. I don't want to take away from you guys. A lot of us do suffer and a lot of us do go through pain, but Paul has experienced the worst of the worst. Paul was thrown in prison. I don't know about you, but prison in those days is probably not a great place to be. Prison nowadays, yeah. I don't think it'll be too bad. You get 3 meals a day, DSTV, table tennis. You know, I don't think it's too bad. I don't think you suffer too much being in prison this day. But back then, it was in chains, in a cold, dark dungeon. Paul was left there. And in this time of unknowing what's going to happen, he doesn't sit and sulk. He puts his trust in God. Paul has faced persecution. He faced persecution. He faced betrayal, probably from so many believers that he had preached the gospel to. Rejection. He probably even watched most of his close friends die. And yet he was unwavering in his faith and in his hope in Jesus. Paul's example is so powerful. Because despite the situations he found himself in, despite the circumstances he faced, he knew that his faith was in God and in his promises and not the situations and circumstances that he faced. His hope was anchored in refusing to doubt God's promises that he made through the blood of Jesus. A hope of a life in Christ, one that is eternal, one that is free, and one that has a future. And we can be joyful in the midst of this brokenness that the world sees and pain because we know that our faith is based in Christ and in his promises. This past week, I heard of the news of a young lady, my age, 27 years old, who committed suicide. And I thought to myself, there's so many different reasons people take that route. But I think the one that common thread is hopelessness. Is a feeling that nothing can be better. That nothing will come right. That I'm alone in this world. And that I'm just a burden to everybody else. So I might as well take my life. And that's the opposite of where God wants us to be. God doesn't want us to sit in a place of pain and brokenness. And we don't find joy in circumstances. We don't find joy in being hurt. We don't find joy in being left financially stricken. We don't find joy in being evicted from our home. We don't find joy in that. We find joy in God and God alone. He is our joy because of who he is, not what he takes us through. And we need to recognize that because we are a son and a daughter of God, there is always hope. Always, always hope. Fourthly, hope produces peace. I love Psalm 62. It's one of my favorite psalms in the whole book of Psalms. Verse 5-8 says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." If that's not an encouraging verse, I don't know what is. And again, David doesn't find himself at the time of writing this in a place of calm and peace, but in a place of chaos and fear. He writes just a few verses before that his enemies are assaulting him and intend to throw him down. He's facing a situation of chaos, a situation of running and fleeing for his life. His enemies are coming against him, and how he responds should make each of us search our heart for the same response. He finds a place of rest and peace, not in himself, not in a shelter that he's found, not in a hiding place, but in God Almighty. In the midst of this chaos, he was able to come back to God and be at peace and be still in the presence of his God. And the verse says, my hope comes from him. That is the reason he is able to experience this peace. Matthew Henry once said, peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but is rather the confidence that he is there with you always. Trouble comes. Jesus even said, in this world, you will have trouble. That's a promise from him. You will have trouble. But our hope is in this. He says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. It's a promise from Jesus that we can put our trust and our hope in. And this is the peace that David experienced, knowing that his God was always with him, that he would never leave him nor forsake him. And that's what Scripture says over and over again. Do not be afraid. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. These are promises that we need to hold on to. When we face these kind of situations, those are the Scriptures that need to come to mind. And we say, God is my refuge and my strength. Why? Because he's always with me. And when we hope in the Lord, we can experience the same peace. And then lastly, hope produces perseverance. Perseverance is something that I think many people struggle with. We've always been told since we're young, never give up, all right? You get motivational speakers come to the school and they say, never give up, don't quit. There's even like a old Sunday school song we used to sing. It went, never give up, because he's always there. Anyway, you probably don't know it, but it's fun. Liam knows it, Kaylee knows it. We did Holiday Club together then. Yeah, when we were younger. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2 to 3 says, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The perseverance that we get is because of the hope that we have in Christ. We don't keep on going because we think, well, there's nothing better to do. We keep going because we know there's something better to come. We keep going because God has promised that he works out all things for our good and his glory. That is why we keep going. Hope inspires and produces endurance and perseverance. And it gives us a reason to keep going on. If anyone knows me, you'll know that I like superheroes. All right? Now, anyone here like superheroes? Okay, a couple of you. Wow, four of you. Wow, come on, guys. That's terrible. Okay, now more hands are going up. That's good. So there's this like constant, I don't know, argument, no, not disagreement, battle between DC Comics and Marvel, all right? So Marvel has all the Avengers. I don't know if you watched the movie The Avengers. It's got Iron Man and Thor and the Hulk and Spider-Man and Captain America and all those guys. And then you get DC, which is Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and Green Lantern and all these guys, all right? And one of them from DC Comics is called The Flash. Heard of him before? Fastest man alive. Maybe some of you watched him on TV. It's a series on TV. This is where I'm going with this, by the way. Is I watch this series and I really enjoy it. Can you imagine being so fast that you can... Anyway. I digress. I was watching an episode a couple of weeks ago, and the one scene in this episode was speaking about hope. And I want to play a video. I've done some cool editing skills, and I've just put the two scenes together. You don't have to watch the whole episode. Just hang on there.
just a bit of background to the story. You're going to see a guy named Barry Allen. That's the Flash. All right. And he's coming up to one of the inmates in a prison. And he's offering him hope. And let's see how the guy responds. Thanks.
Hey, Allen, you're stirring up my dust.
Oh, sorry. I've got some news. So I have some friends that I thought could help with your case, and they've agreed to do it.
CCPD cop friends.
Not exactly, but if there's anybody that can prove you're innocent, it's these guys.
Because they did a bang-up job of clearing you.
That's not really... I mean, my case...
Look, just call them and tell them to stop.
Look, I don't understand why you're not excited about this.
What you're peddling, it's dangerous.
What's dangerous?
Hope. I've been in here long enough to understand that in prison, hope is the most dangerous thing.
Wait, did you get that from Shawshank?
No, I got that from being in prison. Tell your friends to stop wasting their time.
Hey, they found him. His name is Silbert Rundon. He's been arrested for a whole bunch of crimes like yours, and he used to look just like you, too. I'm getting out of here. Wow, you have a hard shoulder.
So yesterday, I tell you what happened, and today you find the guy. It happened in a...
Flash?
Snap.
Snap.
You cops and your blinders. Probably got the wrong guy again.
Well, technically, they haven't gotten him yet.
You see? Something always goes wrong.
Why do you have to make this so hard? It's okay to believe.
Yeah? Why is it so easy for you to believe?
You know my dad was in here for a crime he didn't commit, right? Do you know what happened? After 17 years, the man that killed my mom confessed. My dad got to go home. Why shouldn't you get to go home too?
17 years, huh? You think they'll catch Rundon? You really think it's gonna happen?
I promise. You're getting out.
Tricky thing, Hope, eh? Just to give you the end of the story, they caught the guy, but he didn't confess, and so he didn't get released from jail. That just ruins everything for you, doesn't it? However, the Flash broke him out and took him to China and left him there. So, hope. Sometimes we can forget what hope feels like, especially when we're faced with a hopeless situation every single day of our lives. The difference between the guy in the video and us here is that we're not hoping in human beings or a failed and often flawed justice system. We trust in a God who's perfect and who's not flawed in any way, at all. And we need to note something. If you look at each of these qualities or effects that hope has on us, courage, boldness, confidence, joy, peace, and perseverance, this doesn't just stem from the good old wishy-washy emotion hope that we spoke about at the beginning, that, I hope you have a good day, or I hope your baby is healthy. No. If you look at each of these scriptures, we read about hope. There was one thing that they all had in common, other than the word hope, obviously. One thing. Do you know what that was? Every single verse mentions my hope is in God. Those who hope in the Lord. My hope is in you. Not man, not things, not people. God. If you're in a place today, you're saying, I can have hope because of my wife. For a time, yes. We need to remember that your wife is human. Your husband is human. They will let you down eventually. And might not end up bad. It might just be a small thing. But hope doesn't come from people. Hope doesn't come from circumstances. Hope comes from God and God alone. To end off, I want to play a little game. So I need a volunteer. And there, because Kevin didn't steal it this time, there is a chocolate as a prize. Cindy, come on up. You were first. Okay. So what I've done here is I made my own little homemade Wheel of Fortune. I did this at 5 o'clock this morning, so please don't judge it too badly. Okay, I know it's a bit messy. So what I'm going to do, Cindy, is there's a couple of things on here, all right? There's some things. Maybe you're hoping for a raise, happiness, world peace, maybe a new car, an A plus on your exam, maybe another baby. Are you sure? Okay. I have a picture of a hot dog because I'm preaching and you know I love food. So, and there you go. So what I'm going to do is I want you to point to something that you hope for and spin the wheel. And if it lands on that thing, you get the chocolate. How's that? Okay, so what are you going to hope for? A new car. Okay, cool. Now, please, this is not prophetic in any way. Are you ready? Go for it. Spin the wheel. And it's going, and it's going, and it's going, and it's going. It's at the top, by the way. Yeah. And, oh, it went back to the beginning. It's not rigged, I promise. But sorry, Sins, unfortunately, you know, you didn't get what you hoped for. So now what? Okay, it's cool. Okay, well, at least it's just a car, you know, so it's not like her life was taken. No, she got both. But unfortunately, because she didn't choose that, she doesn't get it, you know. All right, but actually, wait, let's try it again. All right, one more time, except this time we're going to use the other side. All right, do you know which one you're choosing? No. Just choose one, anyone. Okay, cool. All right, so you know which one you're choosing. Do you guys know which one she's choosing? All right, this here's the arrow at the top here. Okay, spin it. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, that was a very good spin. And hey, it landed on the one she chose.
There you go.
Yay! Well done, Sins. All right, that was just a silly game. But the whole point of it is that when we trust in our own man-made things and we have the desires that we want and we have this wishy-washy hope of give me what I want because you're like my genie, all right, or my wish granter, we're left disappointed 9 times out of 10. But when our hope is in Jesus, when our hope is in God and God alone, we are never, ever disappointed. And that was the point of that. No matter which one she chose, it would land on the cross. And God has promised us a future with him. Regardless of what happens in this life, we have a hope that we are going to be living with Jesus one day. So I know there's many of you right now facing difficult circumstances. For some of you, it might be fear. For some of you, brokenness. For some of you, financial strain. For some of you, a death of a loved one. But I could tell you now that if you place your hope in Jesus and in God Almighty, you will never, ever be disappointed. The world will throw everything it has at you. Don't get me wrong. But God will sustain you. God is our refuge and our strength. And we have something to look forward to one day. Life eternally with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that every time we place our hope in you, God, we're never disappointed. Lord, you never let us down. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Your promise is that you will always be with us. But more than that, your promise is of something great to come. That you will come again one day. That every knee on earth will bow. Every tongue will confess that you are Lord Almighty. And Lord, I want to pray for every broken person. Every person who feels like they're in a situation that is hopeless. God, I pray for a fresh just outpouring of hope in their lives. God, I pray that you would grow their faith. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would remind them of your promises. And that, God, that they can walk in confidence, in boldness, in courage. Lord, that they would live with a joy and a peace. And that they would persevere in this world because of what is to come. Greater than what we can ever imagine. So, God, we want to commit each person into your hands this morning. Let us place our hope in you. Because every word, every promise, every future plan that you have spoken will come to pass. That is a promise from you. And so we say this morning, we have hope in the Almighty One. Because God, you are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. God of all creation. So we thank you. Won't you bless us this week as we go our separate ways. And give us opportunities this week to share the hope we have with the world around us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.